This podcast is intended for healthcare professionals only. Welcome to the Oncology Knowledge into Practice podcast, where we discuss game-changing topics in clinical oncology with leading experts in the field. This series is accredited, so if you'd like to receive CME credits, be sure to listen via our website, onkip.com. If you're listening on another platform, you'll find a link in the episode notes. In this series, we're considering best practice when managing cancers of the thyroid gland. This episode is supported by an educational grant from Eli Lilly, who have had no influence on the content or choice of faculty. I'm Hannah Wilgar, and in today's episode, we'll be speaking with Dr. Eric Sherman about the role of precision medicine in thyroid cancer. Dr. Sherman is a medical oncologist and thyroid cancer expert at the Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in New York. We'll start with an overview of some example precision medicines in the thyroid cancer space, but feel free to skip ahead to the interview at the 3-minute mark. The American Cancer Society estimates that in the year 2021, there will be 44,280 new diagnoses of thyroid cancer, resulting in 2,200 deaths. It is the most common cancer of the endocrine system and is increasing in incidence. When compared with most other adult cancers, thyroid cancer is typically diagnosed at a younger age and is 3 times more common in women than in men. Thankfully, precision medicine, where treatment is tailored to the benefit of particular groups of patients, has allowed for the development of many novel therapies in many types of cancer, including thyroid cancer. Such precision therapies often target specific oncogenes, and many such genetic alterations have been identified and are being studied in thyroid cancers, including BRAF, ALK, DMMR, TMB, MSI, RET, and NTRK alterations. Alterations in the RET kinase occur in 10 to 20% of papillary thyroid cancers, 100% of germline medullary thyroid cancers, and 40 to 90% of sporadic medullary thyroid cancers. These alterations can be targeted by drugs such as salpicatinib or pralsetinib, which are oral selective RET inhibitors that target RET-positive advanced or metastatic thyroid cancers. Patients with advanced thyroid cancer who were previously treated showed an overall response rate of 69% when treated with salpicatinib, and 76% of the patients had a response lasting at least 6 months. Alterations in NTRK occur when a neurotrophic receptor tyrosine kinase, or NTRK gene, becomes fused with an unrelated gene. Larotrectinib is approved for treatment of solid tumours with evidence of this NTRK gene fusion. This gene fusion is found in up to 6% of all thyroid cancers in adults, as well as in 18.3 to 25.9% of all paediatric thyroid cancers. Among 3 clinical trials of larotrectinib that are currently ongoing, the response rate among all tumour types with NTRK fusions has been reported at 76%. Dabrafenib is a targeted therapy against the BRAF oncogen, which occurs in about 40% of papillary thyroid cancers. A randomized phase 2 trial evaluated the efficacy of dabrafenib alone and in combination with trametinib, a BRAF and MEK inhibitor, for the treatment of BRAF-mutated thyroid cancers. Both cohorts have shown a 50% response rate in patients with advanced BRAF-positive papillary thyroid cancer. The combination has already been approved for certain BRAF-positive melanomas and non-small cell lung cancers. As a final example, pembrolizumab is a targeted therapy against tumours with high tumour mutational burden, TMB. In 2020, it was FDA approved for use in TMB-high solid tumours. There are currently several phase 2 trials assessing its efficacy in several types of difficult-to-treat thyroid cancers. Here to further discuss the clinical implications of precision medicine in thyroid cancer is Dr. Eric Sherman, medical oncologist and thyroid cancer expert at the Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in New York. So thank you very much for joining us today, Dr. Sherman.
It is a pleasure to be here.
So what is the likelihood of finding an actionable mutation in thyroid cancer? Is it always worth looking?
It is definitely always worth looking. And in cancers like papillary thyroid cancer, anaplastic thyroid cancer and medullary thyroid cancer, the chance of us finding an actionable mutation is actually extremely high. It's probably around 60-65% in papillary thyroid cancer, probably closer around 55% in anaplastic thyroid cancer. And we always argue in medullary thyroid cancer, but probably somewhere around 50-55%. In like Hürthle cell thyroid cancer, it's much less common that we find something, but we do find things at times, and it definitely is always worthwhile to look for it, as there is always a reasonable chance that we may find something that can really benefit the patient.
Awesome. Thank you for that very informative answer. So what precision therapies are showing promise in phase 2 and 3 trials in thyroid cancer?
Well, the big ones are agents that target either RET or NTRK. These drugs have already gone through phase 2 studies. They have already been FDA approved for the treatment of thyroid cancers that have these genetic alterations. And what we see in the studies that have come out so far is extremely high response rates and very long progression-free survivals when we use either the RET inhibitors or the NTRK inhibitors. Other ones out there are the BRAF inhibitors. BRAF mutations are by far the most common mutation seen in papillary thyroid cancer. There have been several phase 2 studies that so far BRAF inhibitors have not been FDA approved, although they have been compendium approved through the guidelines in the NCCN based on the phase 2 studies. And we've seen that they definitely work fairly well. There'll be further studies looking at BRAF inhibitors in thyroid cancer. In anaplastic, using BRAF and MEK have also been FDA approved based on the phase 2 study. But there will probably be at least one randomized study in the future with a BRAF inhibitor in differentiated thyroid cancer. Other things that have shown some promise have been also mTOR inhibitors targeting TSC1 and TSC2 mutations. Dana-Farber has done a phase 2 study with drug everolimus in that setting, and have shown a very good response rates in a few patients. And a similar thing was seen also in a randomized study with sorafenib everolimus and Hurthle-cel in a patient with a TSC1, TSC2 mutation. So while those mutations are much more rare, we do see that benefit, and that's similar to the same benefit we've seen in other cancers as well that have similar mutations.
Wonderful, thank you. So for my next question, what common side effects do patients experience with precision therapies? And how do these toxicities compare with those caused by other more traditional treatments for thyroid cancer?
I mean, of everything I've just spoke about, mTOR inhibitors, BRAF inhibitors, NTRK inhibitors, and RET inhibitors, there's no question that these are much, much better tolerated than the standard treatments we see for thyroid cancer, which are basically the VEGF TKIs. And they all seem that people tolerate those a lot better. Their side effects are different. With like RET inhibitors, we see very little toxicity in general compared to what we see with almost any of the other drugs. You do see occasionally increases in liver function tests, occasionally small increases in blood pressure. With one of the drugs, a little bit of neutropenia, occasionally a hypersensitivity reaction. But in general, it is much, much, much better tolerated. And very few people come off the drugs because of toxicities. NTRK inhibitors are similar in that, you know, they'll have some like neuropathy and other potential side effects, but it's a very big difference compared to like the VEGF TKIs, where we really can get some severe hypertension, hand-foot syndrome, proteinuria, blood clots, just this overall feeling of fatigue out there. So it is a gigantic difference you see between the two, which is why a lot of people are very much in favor of these targeted therapies, even beyond efficacy.
Interesting. Thank you very much. So how do you see the landscape changing for the treatment of thyroid cancer in the next sort of 5 to 10 years in terms of precision medicine?
I mean, one is I wouldn't be surprised if more targets are more better drugs to target certain mutations are found. I mean, there are other targets that we do see in thyroid cancer that we see in other cancers as well, like RAS mutations that may now be considered sort of untargetable, but you know, more and more we're getting better ability to target some of them. You know, you see that with KRAS mutations in lung cancer, and every so often you'll see a similar KRAS mutation in thyroid cancer. There is a drug tipifarnib or the farnesyl transferase inhibitors, which we first thought would work in on all RAS mutations. And the data now seems to really be pushing more that it works better in HRAS mutant tumors. And there is a study with that drug in head and neck squamous cell carcinomas. But HRAS mutations are actually seen, I'm going to say commonly, but not so infrequent that, you know, they're unusual in both in follicular cell derived thyroid cancers as well as medullary thyroid cancer. So I can easily see more use or more studies using those drugs in these HRAS mutant tumors may really have a benefit. NF1 mutations are something that may not be directly targetable, but appear to be sensitive to inhibition of both MEK and mTOR. And it could be that, you know, targeting those pathways in tumors that have NF1 mutations may really have a benefit. And we see NF1 mutations a lot more often than I think people realize, especially in the peripheral cell population. There are also other, genetic alterations that are not so obvious, but may also pertain to like a more sensitivity to certain targetable drugs out there. A big example is in peripheral cell, there's a lot of genetic alterations that predict sensitivity to inhibition of the PI3K, mTOR, AKT pathway. And there was just a randomized study of sorafenib everolimus versus sorafenib alone in HRAS cell that, you know, at least for progression-free survival, seems to be showing a benefit, although it is a small randomized phase two study done through the Alliance. So we can see a lot more of those things developing. We don't talk about tumor mutation burden all that often in thyroid cancer, but in HRAS cell, we do have several patients who do have a very high tumor mutation burden. And, you know, what is the role with immunotherapy in that population? I think it is something that needs to be better investigated, and whether it's the same activities you might see in other tumors, or is there something a little bit different about thyroid cancer in general? But that may be like also a very reasonable target. We're also learning a lot more that peripheral cell is a very different cancer than papillary, and there's a lot of things driven through mitochondria, and that may lead to a whole gang of new targeted therapies in peripheral cell thyroid cancer that we don't really see in papillary thyroid cancer, and may distinguish how we start doing the treatment for both diseases. The final one is actually BRAF fusion genes. So that's something that, you know, people I think have not paid as much attention to, but we see BRAF fusion genes not so infrequently in thyroid cancer. And there are a few drugs and very early on that are targeting, that can target BRAF fusion genes. And this may be another really great target for this population that exists. So the one final thing would be bispecific antibodies. And this is something that's been looked at very carefully, I think, in other solid tumors and hematologic malignancies. But thyroid cancer has a lot of targets on the surface that really can make bispecific antibodies something that really can be useful in this disease. And I know there are several groups that are starting to look at what might be really reasonable targets there. And I would not be surprised in the next 5 to 10 years, we start having several studies in thyroid cancer with these agents.
Great, thank you. So finally, are precision medicines being studied as first-line therapies in thyroid cancer? And if so, what kind of results are you seeing?
You know, that's a really interesting question about, you know, how things can be moved in the first line. In medullary thyroid cancer, this is easy. You know, targeting RET is really by far the most important thing. And I think these specific RET inhibitors have already sort of moved into the first line treatment. And the FDA approval for the drugs have been independent of the line of therapy. In differentiated thyroid cancer, it's not as clear, And part of the problem that exists is that one of the drugs out there for as a VEGF TKI, lenvatinib, really has such high response rates and such good progression-free survival. It's difficult to do a true randomized study against lenvatinib and show that it is better in a time frame that benefits, I think, the different companies. It could be that sequencing the tumors and sequencing first with a target therapy and then going to a drug that's a VEGF TKI like lenvatinib would be much better. But that type of study can take a good number of years to really show anything. But that may be the better way to go about it. And the one study out there that suggests that might be better is that there's a phase two study done with a drug called vemurafenib, a BRAF inhibitor in BRAF mutant thyroid cancer. And they included two cohorts. One was for treatment naive, another one for patients who had previous treatment with a VEGF TKI. And while both cohorts did show activity with vemurafenib, the one funny thing was that in the group that was treatment naive, you saw response rates that were both higher and progression-free survivals that were also much higher than what you saw in using vemurafenib in the second line. And that's actually very different than we see with the lenvatinib data, where using in the first line or in the second line really show very similar response rates and very similar progression-free survivals. So it really could be that starting like a BRAF inhibitor first and then going to a VEGF TKI is really a much better approach. But, you know, with both drugs, there is a fairly long progression-free survival. And considering how long it would take to get a study like that done, I'm not sure if it's ever going to be done, unfortunately.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Sherman. It's been a pleasure to have you.
Thank you very much. I really enjoyed being here today.
So this brings us to the end of today's episode. As you can see, it's always worth looking for precision medicine targets in thyroid cancer, as there's a high chance of finding an alteration, and several studies have proved the safety and efficacy of approved precision therapies, with more likely to be available in the future as well. Thank you for joining us. If you haven't done so already, please do subscribe to the podcast on your favourite app or recommend us to your colleagues. We also have an Oncology Knowledge into Practice website, where you can find other episodes of the podcast as well as other free educational resources in oncology. You can find a link to this in the episode notes, as well as all the references discussed today. Thanks for listening to this summary, and we look forward to joining you next time.